Praise the Lord. So we continue with our discussion on the believer's basic responsibilities. It will be the 11th part that we are discussing on that global theme, and we shall be discussing what prayer is. This will be the 5th part. Prayer is part 5. I'm going to read 2 texts. The first one very short. The second one will be very long. So let's move to the first text. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We shall return to this later. But let's read the second text. Exodus chapter 16. We're reading almost the whole chapter. Reading, in fact, the whole chapter, less one verse. So that will be from verse 1 to verse 35. Exodus 16 from verse 1 right through to verse 35. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the 6th day they will prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the Lord, spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost, on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. That means, what is this? And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with, an omer, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man live of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye have, which ye will bake today, and sieve that ye will sieve, and that which remaineth overlay up, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they had it, and they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. For today, rather, ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And Moses said, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manah. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord for to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Verse 35 and the last verse. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Yeah, we've read that rather lengthy passage so that we can understand what it is that God is doing in each of our lives. The children of Israel had been rescued from bondage in Israel, from Egypt rather, and they found themselves in the wilderness. Of course, when they were brought out, there was no discussion with Moses on how they were going to be fed. So after a few days in the wilderness, they again began to murmur. They had murmured earlier when they didn't have water. Then they had water, now they were murmuring. And what was their complaint? They said, oh, we remember. Don't forget, these were slaves. They said, we'll remember as we sat by the flesh pots. Who gave them flesh pots? And they began to complain and murmur. And God said to Moses, I'm going to give them food in this wilderness. And in the evening, birds just flew in. And they just caught the birds and began to, you know, cook and eat that evening. And the next morning, they saw
You know, the it was like a mist that came over the camp. And when the mist had lifted, they saw things on the ground. They were wondering, what is this thing? What is this thing? And Moses said, that is the bread that God promised you. Take enough for each person. An omer, no matter how much they gathered, it was an omer for each man. And each one ate to their satisfaction. And the Bible says that God provided this manna every day for 40 years. According to their calendar, God provided manna for 14,400 days. Because they had a 360-day year. 14,400 days, the children of Israel ate manna every single day in the wilderness. There were no supermarkets. There was no way you could spend money. There was nothing, but God sustained them for 40 years. We are going to be referring to this from time to time in our discussion. So let's go back to the very first text we read, which is Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. We want to look at what prayer is as we consider this 11th verse of Matthew chapter 6. But before we dive deep into all of this, what is bread? What really is this bread? Now, many of us may be thinking of this bread as our daily sustenance. But we are going to look at the scriptures and we will see at the end of it that the bread that God is talking about here cannot be the bread that you and I think of. Because it is a provision. Bread is a provision that God makes for us and does not really expect us to ask for that general, regular provision. If we go a little bit back to verse 8 of Matthew chapter 6, you remember what the Lord said there? He said, be not ye therefore like unto them, that is the heathen, who keep shouting and shouting and shouting. He says, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Which was why now in verse 9 now said, therefore in this manner pray ye. And one of the things he said they should pray is, give us this day our daily bread. So what is he talking about? It is more than natural food. It actually is inclusive of spiritual food. He's talking about what would sustain us. If you are born again, I need to explain this. If you are born again, you are not sustained by natural food. You are actually sustained by spiritual food. Manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel was their spiritual food. It was not food they were used to. In fact, a time came, I think in Numbers chapter 10 or so, they became bored with it. They were fed us. Ah, we're tired of eating this manna. Give us something else. Even the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that it was food that they were never used to. They didn't know about it. It was spiritual sustenance for them in the wilderness. There are people who eat natural food and they die. And the Lord Jesus made mention of that, I think, in John chapter 6. I think we're going to even look at that. So we need to ab initio understand that daily bread is more than natural food. It's discussing something deeper than that. In Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job chapter 23, verse 12. This is what Job says. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. That's commandment of the word of from the lips of God. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job is saying here that he has placed a premium on the word of God. Far greater than his necessary food, his essential daily sustenance in the physical. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, a reference is made to what we read in Exodus chapter 16. It says, and he, that is God, humbled thee and suffered or allowed you to hunger. Please, who caused them to be hungry? It was God. Whatever you are going through, God is aware. In our cell meeting, my wife and I, we've been looking at the book of Revelations, chapters 2 and lately chapter 3. We saw that in every instance when the Lord Jesus was speaking about the churches, he said, I know thy works. I know what you are suffering. I know what you are going through. So he is not oblivious of your condition, of your situation. There is nothing you want to tell God that is going to be strange to God. Even when you don't have food to eat, he knows. And he actually can orchestrate it, like he said here. I suffered you, I allowed you to hunger. And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. You didn't know about it. There was no bakery. They've never seen it before. Why did he do that? He said, that he, that is God, might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. We don't live by food. We're not sustained by food. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. If you've been living by food, I doubt that you are being sustained by God. The same thing the Lord said in Matthew chapter 4. When he, after the 40 days fast, and he was hungry. And Satan came to tempt him. What was it that Satan said to him? He said, turn, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. And the Lord replied and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Many people have lost their relationship with God because of bread. There are pastors who have abused the anointing and authority of God upon their lives. And have, in that abuse, have sought to satisfy themselves rather than focus on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So give us this day our daily bread. Cannot be our daily food. It is about a word from God on a daily basis. The Bible says, in the entrance of your word giveth light and bringeth understanding to the simple. We are sustained, we are kept by the word of God, not necessarily by the food that we eat. Do you know that when you do the will of God, there is a joy that wells up in your heart and it brings satisfaction to you? This was what happened in John chapter 4, verse 32 and 34. John chapter 4, verse 32, when the Lord Jesus was left alone and the disciples went to buy food, and they returned and found him with that Samaritan woman. And then they brought the food and asked him to eat. In verse 32, the Lord said, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. In verse 33, therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And they brought him food. Who brought him food? We went to buy food. There was no food there. But look at what he said in 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, what gives me satisfaction, what fulfills me, what fills me, my bread, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. There's nothing you are going to give me that will satisfy me more than to do the will of my Father, to accomplish the task that he has given to me. Last week we spoke about thy will be done on the earth as it is done above or in heaven. To do the will of God is to be satisfied, to be filled. In let me read it from 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. They were looking for him. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. But see what he said in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. There is bread, and there is bread. The bread of life, as distinct from natural bread. He said to them, stop struggling for natural food. We shall see later that it is a promise. In fact, not even just a promise. It's an assured provision for the children of God that they be fed naturally. So he said, don't labor for that. If you are going to labor, labor for something else. Now, I could tag that laboring, and I may not be out of place to tag it, to mean pray, ask, seek. He says, don't pray, don't seek, don't struggle for food that perishes. That's not what you should be asking for. Instead, strive, labor, ask, seek after, knock, bang the doors of heaven for meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? They thought that, when you hear that question, you will think that, oh, these people really, they really caught on. And they really, really want to do the work of God. Their focus is now shifted from natural food to the work of God. It's just the same way many people come to church and say, what is this work of God? Let us do it. We want to do it. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's simply the work of God. Just believe God. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ in all ramifications. I think it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Trust God to take care of you. Trust God to sustain you. Trust God to meet your needs. In verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You can always tell a person who does not believe because he always wants to see before he believes. I think it's in John chapter 11, I think verse 25 or so, where the Lord said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of the Lord. It is believing that brings you to seeing the glory of God. It's not the other way around. People always want to see before they believe. But that by itself is the lifestyle of an unbeliever. Verse 31, they continued, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And we will say, wow, these people, they have finally changed. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And of course, everybody went and said, well, what is going on here? We want to eat bread. They are telling us to believe you. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a matter of faith in God. He knows what you need, and he will meet your needs. Now, does that mean that because I have faith in God, I will not hunger? No. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He suffered thee to hunger. Like he said to them. He said, I want to prove them whether they will listen to my word or not. So he caused them to hunger. Will they steal because they hunger? Will they go and collect bribe because they hunger? Will they do some dubious things because they hunger? Or will they stick to my word? That's what he was doing to them. And then he gave them manna. And they were sustained for 40 years in that wilderness because of manna, which is not natural food. Since manna ceased, it has never been in existence till this day. Till tomorrow, there will be no manna. Which was why he said, I want you to keep a pot of it. So that when your children will ask, how were you sustained for 40 years in the wilderness without supermarket? Show them that jar. I say, this is what sustained us. We are sustained by the word of God. We are sustained by the living word of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by natural food. Many have eaten natural food and have died. I'm sure you've heard of food poisoning. But I've never heard of people who ate the very word of God and died. They lived. Because it is living word. It gives life to those who partake of it. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking the Lord for the word for today. The word that will keep me going. The word that will bring me, let me use the terminologies that people are now using, my destiny, my success. The word that will bring you true success, that will take you to the true destination God has for you. Not some Harvardian principle, but the scriptures. I think it's in the book of Hosea that the Bible says that God brought the children of Israel out from Egypt by a prophet, not by a general. The sustenance of the believer is in Christ Jesus. Is to eat Christ. If you read further, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part. It is that brings us to the place of satisfaction. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be fretting. Don't sit down to be thinking about what? Saying, what shall we eat? That's not a calculation to be making. What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Every father knows that they need to take care of their children. A child doesn't go to ask the father, Dad, I want a cloth. Even if he's asking. He's just asking. It's not as if the father, it's not as if he's naked, even when he's asking for that new dress that he wants to buy. When a child says, I'm hungry, it doesn't mean that I'm hungry, that is making the father provide food. Do you understand that? The father already provided it. So let us not, he says, don't take thought for those things. Look at verse 32. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The hustle and bustle. What was that terminology? You call it hustling, right? The hustling of the world today is for bread, for drink, for clothing. When you sum it up, that's all it is. He says, these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. I want a better job. It's for these things. That's how God refers to them. Eat, drink, clothing. Why? He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that. So you're not giving information. And he says, don't waste your time trying to pray for those things that I will normally give you. Look at verse 33. But what did he say? But seek ye, ask ye, knock, press ye, labor ye first the kingdom of God. Focus on that and his righteousness. And all these things which the Gentiles are running after shall be added unto you. But does that mean that you will not first hunger? No, you will hunger. You will hunger. There are times when you will have no meal anywhere. No, you don't even know where food is going to come. But you look up to God. And he's there saying, well, that's good. At least he's learning. He's beginning to learn. He's growing. Now he's understanding that it is not because he's shouting that I'm giving him. I'm going to give it to him anyway. In Luke chapter 12, 29 to 40, it's saying basically the same thing, but we want to extend it a little further. For you to see some things that the Lord is really saying. That this bread is not natural food. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. What that means is don't be overly anxious. Don't be wavering. How are we going to get this done? And so on and so forth. In verse 30, it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your father knoweth that ye have need of these things. We read that already in Matthew. This is the how Luke put it. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. You remember what we looked at earlier on. What was it? Verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer, it is intertwined. It's not as if you can pray one and leave the other. They are all intertwined. They are all in the same thing. So give us the idea, but we are going to see what it is that it has to do with the kingdom of God. It has to do with the will of God. It is more than just food. Food is what God is going to provide. without your asking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know of any sheep that asks the shepherd for food? The shepherd knows that the sheep needs food and takes the feed to the sheep to the place. He will take the flock to a field and say, this field is not for eating. Because the shepherd knows that this food will kill you. But he will take the sheep to a better field where they can eat. He puts them in a place where they can rest, not necessary to eat. And then takes them to a place where they can eat and be well fed. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ask for it. He wants to give it to you. It is his pleasure. Remember what we called will last week. The pleasure of God. It is his will to give you the kingdom. Both the physical and the spiritual kingdom. It is his will for him to sit in your heart and take charge of your life. Ask him for it rather than spending time on food. Look at verse 33. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. It cannot be food that God is talking about here. Because he's saying, sell what you have. It cannot be food. It cannot even be money. Say, go and sell whatever it is you have. That's what he told the young rich man. Say, go and sell it. After you sold it, now come and follow me. Sell it. Go and give it to the beggars. It's the same thing he's saying here. Go and give it to beggars. Don't put it in the ministry. Now come and follow me. The man left. If it is in the ministry, we will come. We'll gladly sell it, put it in the ministry, and then follow the ministry and seek to be treasurer. He says, no, go and give to beggars who will never be able to repay him. Verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? The people who are asking for food, natural food, is that where that's where their treasure is. The man who is seeking for contracts, that's where it is. Look, when you listen to what people are asking in prayer, that is where you know where their treasure lies. Your treasure is known by what you are asking in the place of prayer. The man who is forever seeking, we need money for this, we need money for that, we need money for that. That is where your heart is. The Lord is saying, start asking for the kingdom. Asking about the kingdom. How the kingdom can be established. How the kingdom can be formed in other people's lives. Start asking how you are going to evangelize. How you are going to disciple people. How you are going to bring people into the kingdom. Instead of food that I'm going to give you anyway. Verse 35. Let your loins be gathered about. There is work to be done. Fasten your belt. Tie your wrapper very well. And let your lights be burning. What do we need lights for? What do we need lights for? To see. Which means you are walking not only during daylight. You are also walking at night. Be active. Tie your belt. Tie your wrapper. Put on your overall. Make sure it is there. Get your light. So that even when darkness falls, you will continue to walk. 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him. How? Immediately. Keep that oil lamp burning. The Lord has already told us he is coming at night. When they say that, it may not be literal night. It may be the darkest part of the world. It might even be the darkest part of your life. Many people, once they get into depression, there's nothing. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to pray. They don't want to do anything. The minute they don't have money, they don't want to hear you talk about the word of God again. No. That is when you need your life burning. The Lord may come at that time when you are depressed. When you don't want to hear the word of God. God forbid. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Those people who are waiting for food and those who are working the work of God. The people who are waiting for food, they will eat the food and perish. The people who are doing the work of God, God says, I'm coming to serve them myself. As they have girded themselves to work, I'm going to gird myself to serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. In Jewish time system, they have hours and watches. The hours represent every hour, every day. And it starts at,
7 a.m. or so. The hour starts 7 a.m. So 7 a.m., 1 hour, 8. So that's why the third hour is 9 a.m. The sixth hour is 12 noon. The 11th hour is actually 5 p.m. The reason why they call the 11th hour is because in the time of preparation, that is before the, what do you call it now? Before the Sabbath. That was the hour when they rushed to make sure that they finish everything, they, because from 6, they can't do anything again. So that's why the 11th hour. Now, in our own understanding, what is the 11th hour? 11 p.m. But their own 11th hour is actually 5 p.m. Then you now have, from once it is 6 p.m., you now start the watches. The first watch is 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. They are in 3 hours. 3 hour segments. The second watch, which is talking about here now, is 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. And the third watch is 12 midnight to 3 a.m. The fourth watch, which now takes us into the hours again, is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Good. So he's saying there, whether he comes between 9 and 12, or between 12 and 3, they'll be ready. You see why they need the lamp? You need the light. Where are you going to get the light? From the Word. The entrance of the Word giveth what? Light and understanding to the simple. It opens you up. It shows you things. The light tells you, this is here, this is here, this, in a dark place. Give us this day our daily bread. It's seeking to know the Word of God concerning your day, concerning your activities for today. In the place of your quiet time, you will receive a word from the Lord. In the scriptures, the Lord said, when you get to a crossroad, you will hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. God will prepare you ahead of it. That is your daily bread. Verse 39, and this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his home to be broken through. You see, you remember the story of the 10 virgins, that they all slept. Here he's not expecting them to sleep. He's expecting to watch. If you're a security man, and your guy has gone out, and is expected to come home anytime, you don't sleep. You must stay awake. Any light you see, you are ready to open the gate. You are immediately to open the gate. But we have security men. Your guy will be outside. They will be blaring and blaring. Somebody will have to come back from the main house to wake the security man up. What kind of security man is that? That is what is happening today. The church is so fast asleep. Sometimes it is taking the wickedness of the world to wake us up. The fear of we shall be attacked by the world. That is what is waking us up. Nothing else. If we didn't have the fear that we'll be attacked, we would continue to sleep. We're not watching. Because we just want to eat that natural food and sleep. Verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. While people are there praying, Father, we need the Jeep. We need the Lamborghini. We need the shirt. We need this child. We need this house. We need this thing. We need this job. We need this girl. Or I need this husband. I need this wife. I need this child. They're not doing the work. They're praying for those their needs. The Lord will come. Nobody's expecting him at that time. People are having vigil for contracts. They are having vigil for Jeep, but they will not have vigil for the work of God. If we say, let's gather from 10, 11 till 4 a.m., 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. till 4 a.m. for a vigil, people will be sleeping. We once had a vigil in 2009, I think it was. We had a vigil. Everybody was ready to come to pray for their needs. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want us to share? God said, I want them to pray for my needs. I said, I said, what are your needs? He said, he has needs for souls. He has needs for people to be involved in ministry. When we started praying, everybody was sleeping. They were not interested in the needs of God. They came with their own needs. That's what he's saying here. We are like those men who were seeking Jesus for only bread. They took boats to cross a mighty ocean to go and look for Jesus. For what? Bread. People leave their homes to go to a church, to go for a program. For what? Bread. Just hear the testimonies. Nobody's talking about the work of God. The whole world lieth in darkness.
But the children of God don't care about it. As long as they have bread to eat, that's all they need. That is good enough for them as far as they are concerned. It doesn't matter that God has a need. Let me read Matthew chapter 15. So that we can see how God refers to bread in another place. Matthew 15 from 22, I think to 27 or 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, that is coast of Tyre and Sidon, and cried unto him, that is unto Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Meet her needs. She's just complaining and just meet her needs. Let her go now. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. That means she groveled. She lay on the ground, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's what? Bread. And to cast it to dogs. This woman was asking for deliverance for her daughter. Healing for her daughter. What was it that the Lord called that whole thing? Children's bread. Not adult bread. The bread that children eat. And you know that children's dose is different from adult dose. An adult can't eat it and be filled. It's not good for me to take children's bread. Healing, deliverance, all those things is children's bread. In other words, it is what your father wants to give to you anyway. And of course, the woman was referred to as a dog in verse 27. And she, the woman, said, truth, Lord. Let's walk with your allegory. Yet the dogs, another translation says, the small dogs, the little puppies, they eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That's from their little masters. You know when children eat, they scatter the thing everywhere. Said, but the little dogs pick those things and eat. Well, I'm not even asking for the bread itself. Just give me the crumbs that fallen off the table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This is bread that people are killing themselves for. It is a given for the child of God. It's not something we struggle for. But people have chosen to struggle for natural food. Meanwhile, there's spiritual food that really sustains and keeps on to eternity. That's not what we're interested in. And that's what God is asking us to ask for. Give us this day our daily bread. If you were to see an Israelite who was in the wilderness and ask them, how did you survive it? They will tell you, we don't know. Because manna represents more than bread. It represents the sustenance of a people without natural food. It represents the grace of God upon the life of his children. You know, there are times when you go through certain things and then you come out of it and you look back and you wonder, how did I survive it? That was manna. It was God who sustained you at that time. Because you look back and say, how could I ever have survived this thing? There's no way I could have survived it. Yes, because manna was given to you. And God is asking us to ask for manna. Not the natural bread, not the natural manna, but the heavenly manna. The Lord Jesus said in the book of Revelation somewhere, said, those who overcome, I will give unto them manna, that is from heaven. They will eat and never die. The Lord Jesus said to these people in John chapter 6, he said, your fathers ate it, they died. But there is one that I'm going to give you, which is me. You will never die. If you eat Christ and partake of his blood, you will never die. Give us the bread is given. It is God who gives it. Do you understand that? Say, ask him to give it to you. It is God who gives it. A pastor can only preach to the fulfillment and the blessing of the body what God has asked him to preach and teach. Where a pastor is preaching and teaching something else, the children, the flock will not be well fed. They may be excited, but there is not going to be any spiritual growth Do you understand that? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, the Bible tells us that like newborn babes, we should seek the sincere milk of what? The word. That's what God is after. Give us this our daily bread. He's asking you to seek God to give you his word. To give you the word of life. In him, in Christ, was life. And his life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. He said, ask me to give you my life, which enlightens your world. Satan cannot withstand that kind of wisdom. Is it Isaiah? Is it in the book of Isaiah that he said, I will give you the tongue of the learned or something, that you will speak and no one can will be able to gainsay what you say? Instead of running to somebody and say, oh, man of God, do this. I'm not saying that it cannot happen. It can happen to a baby. To go to the man of God and say, I need a word of counsel from you. Fine. But as you mature, that's what you want to do. You want to spend time with God. Lord, I need a word from you for today. The Lord is saying, I want to give you this spiritual food. It sustained Paul. It sustained Peter. It sustained the early church. It kept them going. Today, when we have these physical things, this money, what do we do with it? We set up buildings, we set up committees, we have all kinds of things going. We build schools. Some of those things are by themselves good. But the way and manner we are going about them, they corrupt everything. Give us this day. Not tomorrow, but what? Today. Not for next week. Today. What I'm trying to drive at by this is to let you understand that whatever you get in church on Sunday is not enough to keep you till the next Sunday. So you need to go home and seek God for new food. Let me give you an illustration. Let's assume somebody invites you to a party, a wedding, and you have eaten at the wedding. Will you not eat when you get home? Will you wait for the next wedding to come? Exactly. You may feast once a week or once a month. And you may have a festival once a year. But you feed every day. Do you understand that? Every day. You cannot come to church on Sunday. You hear the message, oh, I'm full. Ah, I can't wait for next week. Then from Monday to Saturday, nothing. You're just waiting to come to church again. You are a dead man walking. That is why people come to church with kwashoko, spiritual kwashoko, malnourished. And they can't even think straight to know that what they are coming to eat now is, in some churches, is poison. God does not expect you to pray, give me every Sunday what I need for the rest of the week. Or you go to a monthly program, give me in this program what I need for the month. No. Whatever God is giving you at a program is giving you. But you still need to ask him for bread every day. Remember that when they kept the manna in the wilderness, overnight, what happened to it? It was stinking. Worms were coming out. You cannot depend. Many of us, our testimonies, there are no new testimonies of what God is doing in our lives. They are stale. No new thing. We keep talking about what God did, what is he doing next? Where are the new testimonies? Are you praying to God? Asking him to give you counsel and wisdom for a new day? How do we step out in this kind of world without asking for counsel from God? Manna that God wants to give us must always be fresh. God never said to them to keep more than was necessary. Each man receives what he needs. There are no excesses to be kept. So we want to answer the question, what is prayer in the context of give us this day our daily bread? Prayer is asking God for what we need. Note, not what we want, but what we need to do the will and work of God each day. Each day. You must emphasize each day, because the Bible emphasizes daily bread. Daily bread. What do I need to do your work today? What work am I going to do today? Even if the work is going to last 50 years, you still need for today, not for 50 years. Many of us would like to know the will of God for the next 20 years of my life. You know, after the meeting last Sunday, and I began to talk to the Lord concerning His will, as I was praying, the Lord said to me, He said, many times I don't tell people my will. Many times I don't reveal it to them. What I do is I give them instructions. As they are carrying out the instructions, they are walking in my will. And it began to dawn on me that it is possible that if a man were to know the will of God, he will run away. I mean, can you imagine telling Joseph that, God's will is for you to become prime minister in Egypt, but I must tell you that you have at least 13 years of hardship. Do you know that he might think that he can overcome the 13 years offhand? But I tell you, after 1 year or 2 years, he'll be begging, send another. I'm not doing this thing again. Please, it's enough. No respite. I'm from here, from slavery to prison. It's enough. Enough is enough. If God were to tell Abraham, when he was 75 years old, that this child I'm promising you is going to come at 99, I'm sure Abraham would have said, Lord, it's okay. I'm not so sure I'm going to survive that. So, forget about child. A lot of times God doesn't tell us. Because if he did in advance, many of us, we are the same people who will begin to renegotiate the terms. I said, let's do something else. Let's look for, don't worry, it's okay. I don't want to be prime minister in Egypt. Can I just be a herdsman in my father's house? We need to ask God on a daily basis, what are your instructions to accomplish the task of doing your will for today? Secondly, prayer is a daily matter of asking for spiritual nourishment, as the one of yesterday has been used up. And if you didn't use it, it is stale and stinking. Do you understand? My malam here has a way of loading me with bread. In fact, he has already handed my wife bread now. He has a way of loading me with bread. He knows I like to eat the bread fresh. So sometimes he will bring two. There are times when I can't even eat more than one. So the other one is still kept. By the second day, the soft inner portion of the bread has hardened. And it's difficult for me to eat it. So I tell him, don't worry, I don't want another one, because the old one is there. One day, he gave me fresh bread and the old bread was there. And I was torn between eating the old bread and eating the fresh bread. I had to have mercy on the old bread. I ate the old bread and left the fresh bread, which I really wanted to eat the fresh bread. But I realized that if I ate the fresh bread, the old bread, I have to throw it away. That is how spiritual nourishment is. It is given for today. You cannot carry it over. You are in ministry. You have ministered today. Wonderful. You need to go to God and seek His face for tomorrow. You remember what the Lord Jesus did after ministering to people in Mark chapter 1. And then He woke up early and went to pray. And then they came to meet Him and said, people are waiting for you to minister to them. What did He say? He said, please, we have another village to go to. That's why I came. He went to seek the face of the Father to find out, what is your instruction for today? What is your commandment for today? We ordinarily would see the crowd and say, wow, wow, wow. Lord, empower me to minister to these people. God said, not these people. There are a group of people to go to. They have had enough. We need to seek the face of God to know, should I honor this invitation? Should I minister in this place? We don't jump at every invitation. And we don't invite everybody. Talk to the Lord. I don't know how we can walk with God without praying to Him, without having conversation with Him, an honest conversation with Him. Thirdly, prayer is seeking to know the plan. We said this last week. The plan, the purpose, the pleasure of God. Each day, so that we can be energized by him through his spirit and his word to accomplish his task. That's why the Lord Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. John chapter 7, 37 and 39. There were people who had gone for a festive meeting that would span, I think it spanned about eight or 10 days or so. And on the last day, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, it was a day of celebration. The whole feasting had ended and water was being poured, water was being drunk, all kinds of things were happening, people were excited. In that day, the Lord stood, said, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That was the day when they poured water out. They even drank water. They did so many things. Yet he was saying, if any man thirst, was he talking of physical thirst? He was saying, you can drink all the water you want to drink. There will still be lack in your life. Your life will still be empty because the spiritual is missing. There's a spiritual content in every believer. And when it is lacking, we become unfulfilled. You can eat all the food in a pantry and be unsatisfied. But when you do the work of God and you don't eat, you'll be satisfied. You led a soul to Christ. They'll be begging you to eat. You say, no. You don't know what I have, what is going on in me now. Something will be in you. Pray for that fellow. Don't let anybody turn him upside down. Be praying for him. You'll be talking to God. They say, food is ready. They will even want to fight you. He said, leave me. Don't worry. I will eat later. I will just put it in one corner. Why? You have food that you have already eaten. A soul has been won to Christ. And suddenly, you are focusing on that soul being kept. In verse 38, he that believeth on me again, trust in Christ, faith in him. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The word of God makes it clear that if our trust is in Christ, not a river, please note. The river, is it singular or plural? It's in plural. Rivers. Thank God we're in river states. We know all the rivers that we have here. You enter one creek to another, and you know those boat people. How they know those places without a compass, I don't understand. They will meander, meander. Before it was a problem, you see a village. Ah, how did he know this place? Rivers of living water will be flowing, filling you up every time. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that is in you. In verse 9 it says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost is not something to be, that you are given the Holy Ghost, and then suddenly you make noise about it, you shout, you pray in tongues, abuse people, fight people. No, he is given for work. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses of me. His work. I remember when I went to Bible school, one of my Bible school teachers said, the Holy Ghost is not given for enjoyment. It's given for employment. It's not for enjoyment. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. How many of us leave church empty, thirsty, and we don't seek God to be filled? Oh, I can speak now. Meaning what? You speak in tongues, you are still living in sin. You speak in tongues, you are still quarrelsome. You speak in tongues, you are still fighting. You speak in tongues, you are still beating your wife. You speak in tongues, you are still abusing your husband. You speak in tongues, you are still cruel. My brother, my sister, you are thirsty. You are empty. You need to be praying, give me, Lord, my daily bread. And as you are praying, give me, Lord, my daily bread, know in the back of your mind, you are not asking for natural food. You are asking for nourishment, spiritual nourishment. You are asking God for empowerment to do his will. Is it not wonderful for us to read in the book of the Acts? How Peter and John were told never to preach in the name of Christ. And they went back to their company. And when they got there and told them what they did, what they were told, what did they do? They banded together and did what? Prayed. What a wonderful picture. But not us. Today, we will talk. Who is your senator? Who is your member of House of Rep? Let's go and see them. Let us do this. What is wrong with the president? Why is he not acting? What of the governor? Why is he not? It is good though that they are doing their work. No problem. But the question I ask you, the Christian, are you doing your own part? Are you praying or just being critical? All we do as Christians these days, many Christians, is to criticize. And Facebook has made faithlessness, has turned faithlessness into an asset. I use the word asset in quotes because it's actually a liability. Even Twitter, the president wrote something on Twitter. And the response somebody gave on Twitter, I looked at it. I said, does this man understand that he's talking to the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria? Regardless of who the person is, he's the president of Nigeria. Besides that, if we look at the man himself, he's a 74-year-old man, old, proud enough to be his grandfather or great-grandfather. When did we lose respect for the elders? Did the Bible tell you to talk to people anyhow? I thought the Bible said that thou shalt rise before the hoary head. Did the Bible not teach it? When did we lose every sense of being? You may hate somebody. It doesn't give you a right to be insulting him. It's the no, come and arrest him. Now say they are arresting him. It's free speech. There's nothing like free speech. Don't let anybody fool you. What is free speech? That you are free to say something that is hurtful to somebody else? That cannot be free speech. Free speech does not guarantee you to annoy somebody. To the point of the person doing something to you. Let's be sincere. Even God in the scriptures cautions us to be few with our words. Brethren, we need to pray. We need to receive life into our being, the life of God. In Him was life. And His life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. We need to have that light that confuses Satan and his cohorts. The Bible says the man who is born again says the spirit in him walketh where it listeth, as it likes. No man can tell where he's going to next, where he's coming from. Nobody should be able to predict you as a believer. It should be unpredictable. But we are becoming predictable because we don't even go to God on a daily basis to ask, Lord, today, give me this bread. When the Lord Jesus told those people, the bread is to do the work of God, and the work of God is to believe on me. And if any man eats this bread, he will hunger no more forever. He said, oh, give me this bread that I may hunger no more. The focus was still on earthly hunger rather than spiritual hunger. They that do thirst and hunger, or they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. It's time, brethren, for us to take this prayer seriously. To know that when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're not praying for food. We're praying for spiritual nourishment. We're praying for sustenance. We're praying concerning the doing of the will of God. Let us pray. I'd like you to talk to God now. I think first some of us need to pray a prayer of repentance, because we don't seek daily bread. We seek bread that will last us a week. We seek bread that will carry us for a month, even a year. And many of us have been eating stale bread with worms, nothing fresh. That's why many are dying. Even though they've been to church on Sunday, they still go home and commit suicide. They still go home and sin. They still go home and rebel against God. Many of us need to repent of eating food that kills rather than food that gives life. We frequently seek to eat leftovers because we would not want to labor to press into God, to ask Him to give us that manna that sustains, That manna that keeps. That manna that will not allow our eyes to be misled by material things. I want you to pray that God will help you to seek Him daily, daily for manna. To recognize that the food that you ate today, or the one that you were given today, is meant for today alone. If God were a baker, He gives fresh bread every day. He is not going to give you bread that was baked yesterday, because He bakes it fresh every day. The Bible says the steadfast love of God is renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There is everything that God gives us is new every day. New every day. God does not want us to eat stale food, to eat leftover food. He has enough for each of His children if they will come to Him. You have to go to God to eat. You have to go to the table to partake. Christ, it is that we must believe and be filled and be fed. Ask God to help you. Yesterday is gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire, fall on me. Rain on me. Rain on me. Holy Ghost fire, rain on me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in me. Holy God, power, rain on me. Fall on me. Fall on me. Holy God, power, fall on me. Yes. Today's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, fall on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Talk to the Lord.